Welcome to another message from Brian Nugent, lead pastor at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
Take your Bibles this morning. I'm starting a new series called Seeds and Seasons. And we're going to be reading out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to be spending a little time there over the next few weeks. So if you want to kind of read through that, we're going to talk about, over the next few weeks, about times, seasons, places that we walk through, how we respond to those. You can't change them. They're coming. You just got to understand, you know, a few things about each one. And, you know, I believe God can help us. So just want to mention that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the very beginning of the verse just sets out with great clarity about times and seasons in our lives. So it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity. All right, get that. There's a time for everything. And there is a season for every activity. So I don't believe in randomness as a child of God. I don't believe in fate as a son of God. I believe that God has a plan and a purpose and a time for every believer as they walk through this life. I believe that. Don't believe in fate. Don't believe in random opportunities. I believe God is bringing things continually in our life to change us and challenge us. Genesis 8:22 talks a little more, gives us a little bit more description on the seasons. It says, as long as earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So just look at that. I want to talk about it in a moment. Look at the uniqueness of all of the different kinds of seasons that God said will be ordered in the earth and that it will never cease. It goes on in perpetuity. So these life seasons and cycles that we'll talk about in a moment, man, they continually revolve in our life. They never, just like here on earth, the cycle of seasons never ends, and the same, you know, the same with the life cycle here. So life on earth is regulated by times and seasons. Life on earth is regulated by times and seasons. So let's just take a look at a moment about time and seasons. So there's a couple ways that the Bible kind of fleshes this out. One is chronological time, all right? God established the cycle of days, you know, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. God established that. The time continuum. It never ends. It is what it is. It marches on at the same speed. You can't speed time up on bad days, and you can't slow time down on good days. All right. It's the same. It marches at the same pace. Now, it seems a little different, you know, like when you were a kid on Christmas Eve and your parents put you to bed at 9 o'clock and you could not get out of the room. Remember what happened to time? It slowed down. It was like a whole week. All right? Or how does time seem to you when it is the Friday before your vacation? How's that day? It's like the longest day of the year, like a whole week. That day never ends. Contrast that with the Friday of your vacation. It's like 3 hours long. I mean, you're like, where is this day gone? But in actuality, it is the time continuum. It is chronological time. It never changes. It never speeds up. It never slows down. And let me just say to every person here, God has given us on this earth an appointed time. We have a certain number of days. The psalmist David said, teach me to number my days or be accountable with the days that you've given me. So there's only so many time, you know, so many days that we have in this time continuum to do something great for the glory of God. So one is chronological time. The other is seasonal time. It's seasonal time. So if you're a gardener, or if you watch it on TV like I do, there are certain seasons in gardening. There are seasons that certain things take place. There are advantages to doing certain things in certain seasons and disadvantages for doing things in the wrong season. So there is the right moment. So there's chronological time, but then also there's seasonal time, which it is a time to do something specific. We're not just watching the clock anymore. Now is a time for action or intentional waiting. So I was trying to think, how can I illustrate this to my congregation? What would they understand? So I came up with this idea. So everybody knows this restaurant right here, right? All right. Open at 7 a.m., you know, closes about midnight. It's open, you know, pretty much, maybe except for Christmas, 364 days a year. It's just open, okay? So that's the time continuum. It's open all the time. But when you see this, there you go. It is time to slam on your brakes on Monroe Street and wheel in, go through the drive-through, pick a dozen up for your family and a dozen for my family. That's the time to do that. So there's chronological time, and then there are times that you move. There's time for action in that. We see that in the passage from Galatians, even with life of Jesus. It said when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. So there was the time continuum marching on, but there was a time that God said, okay, there's something that I want to do. There's something now. The fullness of time has come. Now he sent his son in the earth. And man, when you really look at, you know, how all of that unfolded, man, it was the perfect time in the calendar of God for Jesus to be revealed. So there's the time continuum, but also there's seasonal time in which it is time to act and time to move. So in seasons, in gardening, each season is characterized by differences in temperature, humidity, rain, and other natural occurrences. That is really, to us, kind of what dictates the seasons, all right? Temperature, humidity, rain, other natural occurrences. And as the atmosphere changes, you and I don't control that, but as the temperature and rain and humidity and all of that changes, it moves us into another season, and we have no control over that, all right? We have no control over that. So that just kind of works itself in every season. In biblical seasons, though, biblical seasons of our lives, and I'll talk about this more this morning, are characterized generally by differences in opportunities, growth, advancement, and planning. All right? Now listen to me. If we are perceptive of the God seasons in our life and understand the uniqueness of each season, then our decisions can be more fruitful when we move at the right time, or less fruitful if we don't. If we perceive the God seasons and the uniqueness of every season. So we're not just regulated by time, but we can learn from times and seasons as well. So as I walk through this message this morning, I'm going to make several applications. I'm going to talk to you about the season of your walk with God, or maybe your ministry involvement, or wanting to launch a ministry, or maybe you're feeling and sensing a calling of God, you know, on your life or relationships. There are seasons and cycles in relationships with vocation and education and business and investment. These cycles, they kind of work themselves through in every part of our lives. So, all right, so let's talk about spring. Let's go right here and let's talk about spring for a moment. Spring, in gardening, spring is about planting. For those of you that do gardens, how many of you have a garden? Okay, all right, I'm gonna give you my address when we get done here, okay? When it's spring, spring is about planting. Spring is about planting. Now, there's a lot of excitement because it's springtime, but there's also a lot of hard work that goes in as well, because the soil for the past season through winter has sat dormant. It's had rain. It's kind of hard. So now we get to the spring season, and part of that is, man, it's the hard work to kind of break up the soil and get it, you know, get it ready to put water in the ground. And then also, this season is for planting. It's for the seed. Now, we're not planting seeds to get seeds. We're not planting for the fun of it. We are planting believing that what I do in spring, there'll be a harvest that will come later. So springtime is to plant. Springtime is to plant. Now listen, you have to be sure that it's spring to be a planting season. Some people think they're always in spring. Not necessarily. You have to perceive the spring season in your life. Because if you plant in any other season, the seed will die and it will not give fruit. So you have to be perceptive and know when it is spring season in your life. Now you know that if you garden or know anything like that. In the biblical part, spring is about planting. It is about risk. It is about faith. It is about vision. It's about timing. It's about investment. It's about launching. Spring is the time of new things. Spring is the time of new beginnings. Spring is the moment where all the plans and dreams of your heart that have been in your head and that you've put on paper, spring is now the time to act. You got to move when it's spring. Can't wait forever. Charles Lindbergh, 1929. They were offering $25,000 to anybody who could fly overseas, you know, without stopping. And Charles Lindbergh, he said, you know what? I'm going to do it. Now, six people had already tried. Some of them fell into the Atlantic. They didn't make it. But Charles Lindbergh said, you know what, I'm gonna do it. They said, well, your navigation on this plane is not good. You know what? No, but I just think it's the right time. I've been waiting forever. I think I can do this. Well, your communications aren't any good. You know what? I think I can navigate. I think I can do this. You won't have enough fuel. I got a plan. I got an idea. So in May 10th, 1929, Charles Lindbergh climbed up into the Spirit of St. Louis with five ham sandwiches, one quart of water, and a bucket. I'll let you figure the bucket part of that out, all right? And he took off. He took off. Because when it's spring season, it's a time to take a risk. It's a time for everything that's kind of been, you know, kind of been on the board of your life. It's time to put it in action. He started flying. Goes overnight, 30 hours, you know, nobody's with him in the plane. He starts to perceive that he's coming up. He sees an island. He has no idea where he's at. He doesn't know which way to go. Fuel is now, you know, a little, you know, becoming a concern. He sees a boat, down in the water. So he flies at 100 feet right at that boat. And he keeps circling the boat going, which way is Ireland? Which way is Ireland? The man in the boat was so scared he would not come out. He didn't move. So he keeps on going. Because sometimes when you plant, not everything goes right when you start. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up. And before long, man, he sees the Eiffel Tower on the horizon. He thinks that he's going to be, you know, that nobody's going to know that he's there. But when he lands, there was 25,000 people there to applaud him. He made history. And folks, he cashed a $25,000 check. All right? Because spring is the time to plant and risk and take your vision and put it with a little faith and have the right timing. But what happens sometimes, we have all these dreams and plans and it gets spring season and we get a little fearful and we procrastinate Ecclesiastes talks about this. It says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. So it says to us, and it says to the farmer, that there may be days, man, that you are ready to get the seed in the ground, and it's time to move, but you don't do it. You look, and it's a little windy, and it's a little cloudy. But I want to tell you something. If you never put seed in the ground, you'll never get a harvest in latter season. So sometimes when it's windy, we put seed in the ground. Sometimes when it's a little rainy, we put seed in the ground, believing that if I can get the seed in the ground, there's a harvest coming around the corner. So I want to tell you something this morning. It's spring for some of you. It's time to plant. It's time to move. Can I tell you this morning? Don't die with seed in your hand. Plant. Don't die with a dream in your heart. Plant. Don't die with regret that you missed your season. It can be summer season for you, folks. It's time to plant. It's time to move. Next part. Well, let me just say this. In your spiritual life, you want to see God do something new and fresh? Man, put some new seed in the ground. Do something you've never done before, all right? You want to see God move in a new way? Plant some new seeds. You want to be involved in ministry? Plant in a ministry. You've been thinking about it, planning about it long enough, it's time to do it. You may feel that you have a calling of God upon your life. Now's the time to launch out to that. Maybe for a relationship, it's time to launch out and take a risk. To some of you, man, it's time to change that job from the job that you have now to the job of your dream. It can be spring for you. It can be spring. Let's look at summer. Let's look at the next one. Summer. Summer is when you work and water the seeds that you've planted. The days are long, hard, and hot. So we start to see a little movement in here. But we don't see any fruit. So sometimes we get discouraged and think because we don't see fruit that there's nothing happening. But you are wrong, because summer is not the season for fruit. Summer, there's something else that occurs during the summer that's really important. Even though we don't see fruit, summer is about those roots going way deep in the soil. Summer, even though you don't see anything here, all the movement is going on down here, okay? So we say, I don't see any fruit, something must not be happening. I'm going, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. Summer is also the time that when roots go down, we also have to worry about weeds. And I just see one right here. And Holly Littler, thank you for leaving me a weed, okay? All right, so it's about growth, and it's about weeds, the weeding process. Because if we don't take out the weeds take the nutrients and the water, and it hinders the growth, you know, the growth in the roots that are supposed to be occurring during that particular season. So the summer season is about growth and removing unnecessary things from our lives. Summer season is about growth and removing unnecessary things from our lives. So growing roots, listen. The quality and the quantity of the harvest in the fall depends upon the roots developed during the summer, right? If you're gonna have a big harvest, man, then summer is really important. That's why, like with Jesus, there are years of his life that you don't see any written record about Jesus' life, because, man, he was studying, he was praying. It was his summer season. Wasn't fall yet. Spotlights weren't ready. It was summer season for him. You read in the life of the Apostle Paul, and there are 3 years that the Apostle Paul was missing. Where was he at? He was in the Arabian desert, and he was studying, and he was reading, and he was praying, and God was forming something deep down in his heart, because it was summer season. Also, summer season is for us the removing of unnecessary things in our lives. Summer season is about God coming cleansing, God purging, God getting the junk out of our life. And then we reprioritize our life. And listen, that is an important season of our life when God's pulling junk out of our life. It's important. Hebrews chapter 12 says, no discipline seems to be pleasant at that time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So when we're going through that pruning and purging time, it's never a joyful time, but I want to tell you, it is so necessary in our lives that we allow God to go through a season where He's stripping stuff out of our heart and stripping junk out of our life. You'll have a much more profitable harvest if you let the Lord do that. So, man, in your spiritual life, summer is about an extended season of study and prayer and preparation and cleansing and getting your priorities in order. In our relationship summer, we see them grow because of the investment we made in the past. But we also realize through summer that there may be those in our life who are pulling away from our God dream, and they need to be removed. There's a summer season for vocation and education where things are growing deep and we're not seeing everything that we want to see, but it's not fall yet. It's not fall yet. So, summer is a very important season that we allow to work in our life, because the next one is fall, and that's the greatest one, because you see the fruit of what you have worked on, you know, for who knows how long that season lasts. Fall is the acknowledgement of the seed, you know, and the planting, and now you're seeing some life come. Now, in the Bible, and we can pattern how we deal with fall out of how they did in the Old Testament, because they had the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Harvest. So when it was harvest, man, it was time to work first. Man, you had harvest. Man, things are going good. The fruit that you were hoping to see, now you are seeing. So when it was harvest in biblical times, man, they worked on the harvest. They got the crops. But then after that, they took 2 days and they called it was the Feast of the Harvest. And they took 2 days to celebrate. They just took 2 days to celebrate and to give God thanks for the harvest that had come and to celebrate. God said, take 2 days off work. Just celebrate. Eat great food. Share stories. Give an offering. You know, give an offering to the Lord. So fall, the fall season of our life, is seeing the fruit of your planting and celebration. Seeing the fruit. So we celebrate. We see what God is doing. Now we work because whatever we planted, you know, in the fall, we see coming to fruition. So there's work to do, but there's also celebration. There's time to reflect. There's time to give thanks, you know, to give thanks to God. So, you know, in our spiritual life, man, when we start to see the fruit of that coming up, we see God doing something new in our life. We're perceiving, man, I'm growing. There's something new that God is birthing. We see that lived out in Psalms 1 and 3. It said, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prosper. Man, there's a time that you come out of your summer season, and man, that you know, man, that you've been growing, that God is doing something, you know, God's doing something fresh and new in your life. And if you've got a call to ministry or something else, you'll start to see spiritual fruit being born out of that ministry. It might come through numbers. It might be quality. It might be opportunities that appear out of nowhere, you know, for you to, you know, to walk through in your ministry. You know, it was Esther. It was Esther that, I mean, nobody even knew her name, But then the book of Esther, it says they were raised up for such a time as this. So God's got you hidden away during the summer, and you'll do that in the darkness. But there's a day that he's preparing the spotlight and the stage for you. That's the harvest that comes in our lives, you know, in fall, you know, or man, there's all kinds of other ways that God gives fruit to us. But can I just say something this morning? Man, I want to talk about the God of the harvest this morning. Some of you, man, you look around and you got callous knees and you've got cracked hands and you go, where is the season of harvest? Where is the God of harvest? And I just want to say to you this morning that he has not forgotten your spring season where you planted seed and you worked the soil. He has not forgotten your summer season of growth and purging. I believe for the church, I believe God is going to bless us with a fall season. I believe it's going to be the favor of the Lord that is going to come. He says, I'll give you cities that you didn't build and vineyards, or cities that you didn't build, vineyards that you did not plant. So this harvest is not seed for seed, but it is a harvest of the favor of the Lord. If you believe that, say amen this morning. I believe that. I believe that. Let's talk about winter. Let's talk about winter. I've come through the fall. It's got the fruit. And then there's winter. Some very important things that happen in winter that we need to acknowledge. Number one, things die in the winter. You can try to keep things alive, but for every cycle, there's a death in it. Winter is about things dying. Winter is about rest. The ground rests, the earth in winter, it takes a deep breath. The winter is when the soil nourishes itself to prepare itself for spring. So there's some important things that happen in winter that we need to realize. So winter is about rest. It's about rest, prayer, evaluation, dreaming, and then just allowing some things to die. We don't want anything to die that once bore fruit, but it's not the life cycle. It's not the life cycle of God. Sometimes things that were productive and life-giving in our life, sometimes that season ends. And we spend a lot of time trying to bring fruit out of a season of winter, and we're always frustrated because you always think it's fall, but it's not. God's moved you to winter, and whatever that cycle was, winter, part of what happens in winter is that things die. Things die. Also, rest, prayer, evaluation, dreaming. So we're taking a break. We're taking a break. We're praying. We're strategizing because we know spring's around the corner. Winter's not your vacation. Okay? Winter's the time that we just take a little break and we recalibrate and we dream because we know that spring is coming around the corner again. So we allow things to die. We evaluate our life, maybe relationships. Some of them we let them die. Not if you're married, okay? Let me just say that. That is not what I'm talking about. We let things die. We let them go. We've tried, it just didn't work, we let it die. Or, man, it's borne fruit, and now that life cycle is over. Elijah sat by the brook that no longer ran anymore, and he moved. There's a time that a brook dries up, all right? So there's the winter season that dies, but there's also a part where we pray, and we evaluate, and we dream, because we know that spring is coming, all right? So I was 27. I'd been in youth ministry for a while. I love students because once you love a student, you always love a student. I don't care how old you are. I haven't worked with students full time in a long time, but I mean, I love all of our kids that are here. But I was just sensing it at 27. I mean, I was just sensing that it was time for a shift. It was time for me to pastor. I wasn't married. Becky wasn't in my life, you know, at that point. But I just felt like I was in the latter season of my youth ministry. Now, that wasn't a time to, you know, to give up and not do a good job. You work hard, but you realize the shift of season because atmospheres change. Sometimes you got to realize you're in a new season. So, man, I just couldn't get any traction anywhere. Nobody would look at this single guy. Nobody. I'd never pastored before. Man, I couldn't get not one open door. My youth ministry was larger than some of the churches and that I was calling. I just couldn't get it. Could not get a return phone call, and I was just kind of discouraged. And I'm just laying in bed one night. I'm just tossing and turning. Man, I'm just, you know, just I just had all these thoughts in my mind. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got up. I mean, I just shot out of bed. I got up and I went to the computer, and I started writing down the roadmap of the church. When I pastor a church, this is what I want it to look like. This is what I want to do in missions. This is what I want to do with student ministry and college ministry. Here's what I want my services to be like. Here's outreach. I don't want to just have service on Sunday, but I want to reach my community and my world. And I just started, man, and stuff just started flowing out of my heart. And I'm sitting at the computer typing as fast as I can. For almost 2 hours, I'm laying out the roadmap of what the church that I would look like, you know, one day that I would pastor, what it would look like. And I saved that document. Man, and a couple of days later, I'd go back and there'd be some other things in my life and I would add that to it. And then when that season came, that it shifted, I told you, there are times, you know, that you're in kind of a winter season and things shift and it's time to launch. And people, you know, were giving me a call and I was having the opportunity to talk to people about that next opportunity. You know what? When it was time for the interview, I didn't stumble and stammer around through that trying to figure out what I was doing because I had this word down in my heart. There was something that God had been doing through my winter season. And man, when I spoke to them and they asked me, what would you do here, I didn't have to go through notes. Man, it was just flooding out of my heart. Fortunately, there was a church in Kentucky that was more desperate than any other church in the Assemblies of God. And they heard the rantings of this young guy. But you know what? I knew. And then once I became the pastor, I had this roadmap that God had already given me. God, because winter season is not vacation. You take a little break. You let some things die that aren't bearing fruit. You let them go, which is sometimes painful. But winter season is where we rest and we dream and we plan and we reevaluate the previous seasons. And we're getting ready because we know that spring is around the corner. And man, when it comes, I'm not going to miss my opportunity there. So we got to realize the importance of winter. So let me give you a couple of things really quick, and then we'll get the worship team. So what can we learn from seasons? Seasons, life seasons are not necessarily months. You know, here it's like, well, in Tallahassee, you know, it's like summer's 8 months out of the year. Then we get a few, you know. Normally seasons are about 3 months, not necessarily life seasons or cycles for us. Sometimes it goes longer than that. Life seasons and cycles are excruciatingly slow. Can anybody say amen to that? You know, God's not in a hurry. And I remind him, I know you're not in a hurry. You live forever. I don't. I got to get going here. Don't rush through your season. Don't rush through your season. We underestimate these two seasons and the important role that they play in our life. We want to live here in planting and harvesting all the time, and we rush through these. So if you rush through your summer season, you will not have a root system that is developed. You won't have been purged and cleansed. You're not ready for this season. You're not ready for it. So you need to stay. You need to stay. If you don't, if you only allow this to just be a rest, then when this season comes, you're not prepared. You don't have any seed to plant. You don't have a plan. You don't know where you're going. So don't rush through these seasons, because there's value in those seasons. Can I give you something else? You can go ahead. Don't stay too long in these seasons. Don't stay too long here. We want to continually live in spring and fall, all right? We want to think, anytime I get a good idea, it's a God idea, and it's the season to plant. You're wrong. Because that idea may come right here, and it's not time. We think anytime I want to do something for God, it is the right season to move. And I'm telling you, no, it's not. There's time that God wants to speak and mature and grow. We want to live. We want to live in these seasons all the time, and it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. We stay too long. We're in this season. And now all the crops are gone and the fruit is spoiling. But we're trying to get more fruit out of a season that passes and that is past, and we waste time. We waste time there. We're trying to rebuild. We're trying to rebuild something that's already gone. He says he gives beauty for ashes. There's a time that we go through that season, and we're trying to rebuild and repurpose ashes of something that is burned out. And God says, let it go. I got something else for you. But we've enjoyed and we're comfortable in this season, and we don't want to make that change. Don't stay. Don't rush through your season. Don't stay too long in the season. Proverbs said, sluggards don't plow in season. So at harvest time, they look and they find nothing. They didn't know. They weren't perceptive of spring season, and they looked and there was nothing. There was nothing there. So we're regulated by life, time, and seasons. And if we're perceptive to those God cycles, those seasonal cycles in our life, it will be helpful. And I want to tell you, too, because some of you may be going, and I just believe in my heart this morning, this is a word to the Lord, from the Lord for some of you this morning. I just feel so strongly in my heart that the atmosphere's changing a little bit, and there's a new season that's coming upon you. And yes, you were comfortable in your previous season, but you'll never know the fruit born in the future, man, unless you acknowledge that atmosphere change and move into that next season. I'm just telling you, there's a shift. In seasons, there's a shift in the atmosphere, and you just sense it. And that's when you know that there's a different season that's upon us. Can I say it, the church again? I just think there's a shift in the atmosphere, and that the God of harvest is going to pour out something in our lives unbelievable. Said in the book of James, right before harvest, there's a latter rain or an end time rain that comes, and it comes just quickly, right before harvest. So all the fruit will be born very quickly that it can be harvest. And I just want to say in faith this morning, man, I believe we're in the season of the latter rain, and the season of harvest is upon the church. I believe that. I believe that. Would you stand? I'm going to get them to lead you in a song. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray over your seasons this morning. Let's worship together for a moment, then I'll close this out.
This concludes the message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org.